and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 443. How are we all doing? We've got calamitous tech happenings here. You're not going to be able to hear Mike. Microphone's been cut off. No, it was not me. Did it itself. It wasn't me. Right, I'm in the chat. Let me refresh the chat. Hello, Renee. Renee is number one. Congratulations. Hello, Dee. Oh, Dee was in at number two on the silver. And coming in at three, we have Deb. CQCQ, Deb. Oh, Kim's fixing dinner. Excellent. Dee, your time will come. Your time will come. Hello, Jonathan. You were frantically refreshing. And yet, look, Jonathan, I would say Jonathan needs a faster internet connection. But I know how fast Jonathan's internet connection is, so we know he doesn't. He doesn't because it would suck our bandwidth. You just need a faster finger.
Anyway,
that's what you need.
I've never had a chance to ask you.
You better get closer.
Never had a chance to ask you.
Me? What did I do?
How was dinner?
Oh, yes, it was rather, were we?
Yeah.
Do you want to try and explain what happened?
I followed the instructions.
That's where you went wrong.
On the website. It was lamb burgers, but it ended up as lamb mash. And I've been so looking forward to it all day.
Right, I'll do the next one.
No, because I have to practice. Anyway,
does that make me a willing victim?
You haven't got time to mess in the kitchen.
Remind me where the kitchen is again.
Exactly. You know what this reminds me of?
Go on.
The very first time we did some recording and we only had one microphone.
Oh, yes, and we shared it.
Many, many years ago, we had the blue snowball.
We did.
We had one of them. It was must have been in the summer because even the big fan was there and I remember straddling over it. I remember actually doing exactly what I'm doing now, which is leaning on the desk, sweltering hot, sweat pouring down me.
He's painting a picture here.
With the fan turned off, trying to do some two-hander thing that we were doing on Firefox, I think.
Can I just say, adding two-hander to it doesn't help with the image, Mike.
Really?
I don't know what's wrong. Well, I do. The mixer's not working. Oh, no! But I don't know why, because I've not done anything with it. Not touched it, not moved it, not done anything with it. It's just not working. Well, actually, that's a lie. It is. But can you see what's happening, Mike? It's registering, but it's not registering on the computer.
No.
OK, need to totally rebuild that, clearly. Do you know, it would probably be easier if you were downstairs with the dog in the garden and you dialed in. Oh, what a way to go. But let me carry on with who's here. Oh, you see, Renee says you need to speak up because he's not talking to the microphone. He's talking to the side of it. Why don't you move everything? It's this one here, Mike. The mic needs to be closer to the mic. Bring your chair over.
Because I'll be going downstairs shortly.
She looks quite happy where she is.
She'll start growling in a minute.
She will, actually, she will. Oh, we missed you too, Jonathan. We did ponder pinging you, but I said, leave him alone. Leave him alone, he'll be fine. Because they were all saying on Friday that I should text you, wake you up. They were so desperate for you to get a point. But I said, the young man needs sleep, leave him be. So I hope you've had a good few days. This weather, Manchester, not good.
It's
way too warm.
80, according to my,
no.
My iPhone app.
Right, but I can't be expected to cope in this kind of weather.
No.
I can't. Definitely not happening.
What's not?
Right, so let's have a look. Who else have we got that I've missed so far? Hello, Anthony. Yes, we were all worried about young Johnny. You were going to get about another day's grace, Jonathan, and then we were all coming round to make sure you were all right. Even without electricity, Elaine will have her own working mic. Well, yeah. I don't know what's wrong with it. All I did was turn it on. That means fishing the manual out. And having a look at it.
But you can't reboot.
I did reboot.
No.
I rebooted last night at, what time was that session?
After the crackle.
It had a crackle.
Snap, crackle,
I think the crackle was on the monitor.
Yeah.
So either it was something HDMI-ish or you know, the adapter. Yeah. But I did get rid of the crackle. The crackle wasn't broadcasting, it was just local. So I think it was the speaker on the monitor. So I did have to reboot. When I rebooted, it started with the you rebooted because of a problem. And I thought, well, actually, technically I didn't, because technically you were working. I just didn't like the crackle. Anyway, I had 6 minutes to reboot between sessions. So I did do that.
Anyway, back to dinner.
Oh, yes, Mike's dinner.
Yeah, it was supposed to be lamb burger with a piece of bacon on top, melted cheese and a gherkin slice.
It sounded fabulous when it was described.
And mine was just a mush of lamb with not melted cheese, cold crispy bacon. Never mind.
It was fine, Mike.
I'll try it again.
Look, I'm okay in the kitchen in theory. So I'll give you guidance and then you go deploy it. Because I can't go in the kitchen as well, because I know what the kitchen's like when it gets warm.
Exactly.
The door is south facing, so it gets a lot of heat, and then you start cooking. And we haven't got an extractor fan, have we?
No,
we used to have, but Mum didn't want one in the double glazing, so we haven't. And that's where we're at. I need some panda therapy.
Elaine's faking broken down tech. WWDC. Hint, hint.
Well, do you know, Renee? If I was, that's a decent idea, by the way. Don't let anybody know. Just between us two. If I was, it wouldn't be the mixer. No. It would be like, oh, this laptop. But sadly, that's even got AppleCare, so I'm not going to get away with that. I'm not. There are some nice ideas coming out about what we'll see, though. But there was a toy that I had in mind to replace this mixer with. So actually, I'm going to have to give Renee points for that one. Let's see if I can find it. It was on Amazon.
That thing we looked at.
That's descriptive, isn't it? Was it that thing we looked at? Yes, Mike, it was. Funnily enough, it was that thing we looked at.
Yeah.
Right. I think... Well, it was a Zoom thing. It was that one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was called PodTrack. The P4 PodTrack. Ooh, look at that.
There's only 10 left in stock.
Yes, but I'm not paying £16 to have it delivered. I'd want George Clooney to deliver it for that price. So, I was looking at one of those on the basis that the cables would be neater. Hmm. Obviously not something that's popular, though. So I'm going to have a ponder with that. It's probably the USB thing again. I don't know. But you know, like they say, turn it off and on again. It'll be fine. Now, I've done that 9 times. It's not fine. It's not fine at all.
Kim's heart's going to be broken again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Kim wants the Mini Pro I mentioned. Your heart's going to be broken. I think it will. It does make sense that they would make a Mini Pro, though, because if they do, then they can just put the price up. So you'd have the Mini, which is already exorbitant. The Mini, when it very first started, was £399, and it was like to get people into the Mac world. You know, and most people who had a Mac were like, yeah, I'll have one of those as well. It's cheaper than a phone. By some considerable amount, so I'll have one. Then they put the price up, and now it's like the price of a normal computer. So what they could do is leave that at the price it is, and then make a Mini Pro, you know, and put another 50% on that. People would still buy. But they've got some weirdness going on, and I can't see that happening myself. I'm not sure I would like it to look like that, Kim, you know, with the handles on the top and the no wheels and stuff, because it looked like a toaster. I don't like the air vents on the outside. I just think they're far too big. I much prefer the cheese grater Mac. The cheese grater Mac was where it was at for me, and I was hoping for that, but better. And obviously since then, I've been sadly, sadly let down. Tell you what, though, did you read the article? Mike won't have read this article, but you might have done. Did you read the article about the design of the new iMac?
No.
Johnny Ive had a hand in it. And Apple have confirmed this, but won't confirm what hand he had. And I thought, well, if he was in charge of the colours, can we take him out and flog him now? But apparently he did have a hand in the design of the new Mac. What they also won't confirm was whether that was before he left, which was 2 years ago now, or whether it was on a consultancy basis with his new company.
Probably the latter.
I would guess so as well. I did think, looks-wise...
On the other hand, maybe if he knew he was leaving and he wanted to the mop. He did it deliberately.
Well, he could have done that as well. That's that's an interesting concept. Yeah. Mm. I did.
You know when a football manager's.
You're going to have to speak up.
You know a football manager's going to get the boot. And they know it.
And then they pick the B team.
Yeah, exactly.
And the ball boys.
Yeah.
Are they still called ball boys? Or are they ball people now?
Ball people.
Ball. What?
Ball persons.
Ball persons?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up.
Ball they.
Because there are. Well, yes. Well, there are ladies now, aren't there? Girls.
Ladies.
Oh, don't start, Mike. And I'm all giddy. Night night, Jonathan.
Night night, Johnny.
Anthony says the Mini was really good as a headless server. Unfortunately, he killed mine by upgrading it to an SSD. I remember when I got my first one, and my mum had said, buy it, but get the lowest model and then upgrade the RAM and upgrade the hard drive yourself. And I remember thinking, like, what? I might blow it up. And she was like, do it anyway. So she said, I'll treat you to it. And I thought, no, Mum, it's fine. No, I'm treating you to it. And I'm like, oh, my God, what if I blow it up? And it was at the time you didn't, there wasn't that panel underneath. There's like a circular panel underneath, or there used to be, the last model. This was the model before that. You had to disembowel it. You had to take everything out. So I'd watch like a video and I got my screwdriver set and there I am earthed to the radiator. And I thought, just do it. And it went fine. But I can imagine the anguish, Anthony, of like, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to have to do this. And I did it on my dad's 2009 MacBook Pro twice or three times. I swapped out the hard drive for an SSD, but it was quite small because it was probably about 2013, I think. And then I changed it again. And then the next time I changed it for another SSD, but a much bigger one. And that machine is still actually purring along. And but for the fact that Apple have like deprecated the OS, so it can only go to a certain level of OS. And I think it's on Snow Leopard. It could actually be later than that. I'm not sure. Could be LCAP. I'll have a look, but it's still going strong. If I could get it to a point where I didn't have to tag on the code on the end of the password, because it's that old for two-factor, that would be good too. Other than that, I don't think I've done it. Other than that, I just hang one off the back and be done with it, because it's easier. But I feel your pain. Do they still use the word ball? It's a point. I'm not quite sure. I'm just thinking they were ball boys. They probably have some technical name. Why don't you go look it up for me, Mike, and come back and tell me. Oh, Renee's just bought PixSave. I do love PixSave. The only problem I've got with PixSave is I'm always concerned it's going to die tomorrow. It's not in like, well, they do bring out updates, but not frequently, not often. But it does what it does brilliantly. And the fact that it synchronises with iOS is just icing on the cake. There's no point talking over there. No one can hear you.
I've had three missed calls in the last 20 minutes with no caller ID.
Oh, one of Mike's women's after him. Three missed calls, no caller ID. Not your mother, then?
I don't think so.
Well, you can't ring them back. You don't know the number.
Yeah.
And you don't take those kind of calls anyway. Oh, tell you what. Has anybody read Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport? Cal Newport's the guy who wrote Deep Work. Have you read Digital Minimalism? Because I heard it, I read it in inverted commas, in quotes. I read it in audio form a good few years ago. It's fascinating coming back to it, coming out of the pandemic.
Yes, they're still called ball boys and ball girls. Oh,
ball boys and ball girls. There you go. Mike has done the research and that's it. Oh, Anthony's just got Otterbox AI. Very impressed with it. Transcript for an hour-long video. Few errors. Yeah, I've had Otter. We did a demo of it about 14 months. And what I do is it renews on the 20th of the month. So what I do is if I've got any spare minutes at the end, then I run my own videos through it. And I don't use them at that point, but they're there in case I actually need to. It's a really good service. I know some people use it on their phone for like short memos, but I must admit that's not what I use it for. I would want like a longer thing transcribed and then pick out the highlights of it, of what I want. Ah, so digital minimalism. Who's read it? Who's even heard of it? How was the book club with the author? Oh, Renee, it went on for hours. He was amazing. The guy who runs the book club is called Beau. And Beau had been on a call.
She met a dog called Beau tonight.
Beau's a popular name for a dog, isn't it? No. This guy is very, very good. And he'd been on a call with Zunker, that's the author. I think he'd been on the call for about an hour beforehand, apprising him of what they were going to do and everything. So how it went, we all went in at 8:30 and Beau led like a Q&A. So he asked questions and like got Zunker to tell us the detail behind the book and the thinking and what he's using. And the great thing now is in the book, he actually recommends for a Zettelkasten, Zotero and any text editor or Word or any editor that you can edit your content in. And another thing, I think it is just called Zettelkasten by a guy called Daniel. But the fascinating thing is this book is now 4 years old and obviously technology's moved on and he's moved on and he is actually now using Rome, which is what we were all using. And I mean, obviously my Rome is very different than his Rome would be. But it's like, oh, we want to see it. Oh, we wanted to see it. But obviously he's an academic. He's a German academic. It's really interesting when he was answering the questions. People were asking questions and I'd noticed that most people on YouTube or in their blog or wherever they're answering questions, they get to a point and it's like, so that's the question. And they just dive in. And he is very, very deep thinking with it. And unless he can give what he considers to be like an academic argument proof answer, he's like, oh well, I don't feel that you know I'm qualified to answer that. And you're like, no, you are, please. So he was there officially for an hour, but he stayed for 2 hours 20 minutes, I think, and then we had another hour and a bit after that, so it ended up being like a 3.5 hour call. So never say Sunday's the day of rest. It's not. Oh, how is digital minimalism even possible? Well, that's the core of the book, Kim. This guy is a graduate of MIT somewhere. I think it was MIT. He's got an undergraduate and a postgraduate and probably a PhD in tech. So to me, it seems a bit of a misnomer to be pushing this digital minimalism thing. But it came out of he has never had social accounts of any kind. But he does remember his girlfriend, now his wife, joining what was called the Facebook at the time, 2004. And his argument in the book is that we're being taken over and that we need to push back and go minimal. So he co-opted people into doing a 30-day detox, digital detox, completely. No social, no nothing, 30 days. And then gradually bring back what you now know to be critical, but you didn't know to be critical at the time, if you're with me, because you were just overindulging. And from the information he got from that, then he put this book together. And it's about the mindful use of technology. But the thing that struck me was, as I was listening to this book again, I see where he's coming from, but I don't like the terms he uses for somebody who is pro-technology. And he says they're a technology apologist. I'm not an apologist for anything. But the things he was saying, I'd want to pull him up on. One was, don't just put a like on pictures on Instagram of the family. Pick the phone up and give them a call. So he actually said, don't rely on the technology by putting a like on Instagram or a comment on Instagram. Pick the phone up and talk to them. And I was like, whoa, stop that tape there. And I literally wanted to write down like my reaction to that. Is the phone not technology? Because back in the day, I can imagine just the arguments he is putting out against Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you use to keep in touch, WhatsApp, being used about the telephone. Don't ring somebody, go and see them. So that was the first point. That's like saying a phone isn't technology. Why is a phone any better than putting a like on an Instagram post? Because we are more geographically spread than ever. we've got friends who've got their entire family have moved to Australia. You know, they've got three kids. They've all moved. All the nine grandkids have moved with them. And they're left here. Okay, pick the phone up. Did I say it was Australia? You know, it would be quite an ordeal to try and find a time that you're not at work and that they're awake. So, in a way, technology can be used for good to keep in contact in circumstances where you wouldn't have the opportunity to. And he doesn't acknowledge that at all. And I'm also thinking things like, and I've said this to Mike, I was shocking on Facebook. If I wasn't there. There were posts on Facebook from me. That was because I sent my tweets through to Facebook. When I was on Twitter, a lot more than I am now. That's what I did. And it's a standing joke. If you look back at my Twitter feed, going back to like 2010, something like that, the only posts that are on Facebook were me saying Twitter's down, so here I am. I used to live on Twitter, but that was when Twitter was way more of a community than it is now. But my use of Facebook, I don't think I even had the mobile app. I never, ever opened Facebook until we'd been at the church about 8 months. And once we were part of the community, it was like, oh, you know, people are friending me on Facebook from the church community. And it did and continues to kind of drive engagement during the week because you would only see each other at Mass. Obviously, 15 months on, not seeing people at Mass at all. But that's what's kept the community going. So I thought, one, it was a naive view of it. Two, it didn't take into account that what we think as novel technology today will become a standard as a telephone. Three, he didn't account for time shifting. So I'm shocking on the phone. Don't ring me. I don't answer the phone. The only person I answer the phone from is Mike's mother. Because if she's ringing me, there's a crisis. As it was proved one day when she rang. And I thought, what's Hillary ringing me for? It's a Thursday. She's at school. She's a teacher. So I thought, why is she ringing me from school? What crisis could there possibly be? But it turned out Mike's brother was at the flat looking after his dad at the time. And he'd rung her to say that the freezer was spewing up all over the floor. And she'd got food in the freezer and she wanted to know, did we possibly have any space in the freezer? So I answered that phone call because I knew she wouldn't be ringing me unless it was urgent. But, you know, anybody else. Plus, right, rule one, if you withhold your number, then it's just blocked. It doesn't even ring. If you're in my contacts, it's always on do not disturb permanently. In fact, the other day, my phone made a noise and I thought, what's that? I must have inadvertently put the sound on it because the sound is off as well. Permanently, the sound is off. So for me, it's a matter of how can he say digital technology is disruptive and then in good consciousness say you should ring somebody instead. Don't ring me because that's convenient at your time, not mine. You don't know if it's convenient to me. So text me, WhatsApp me or email me and let me decide. Let me batch process what I do. I've actually got a little folder in the email for people to reply to. And do you know the number one on the list? The email's written and I haven't got their email. And I'm thinking they definitely mailed me. And can I find the email address? No. So I'm looking for the email address to send this. But I'd love to see what people have to say after the pandemic, because technology kept us going during the pandemic. So that was my 10 penny thought on this book anyway. There will be many who believe in the singularity when we turn it over to machines. I think there is a lot of fear in it, and a lot of people do get addicted. And that's his argument, that people are addicted to checking their phone. I must admit, if I'm taking a break and I pick up my phone, I'll like do the rounds, what I call do the rounds. So I might take a swift look at Facebook, see if anybody's pinged me, if there's anything critical there. I probably won't on Twitter because I'm so far removed from Twitter now. It's unbelievable. I'm much more likely to check the news, to be honest. And at the moment, I'm doing the watch pot never boils thing. I'm keeping my eye on whether my iPad's on the way. No, it's not. It's, status, processing items, and has been for the last 5 weeks. In fact, as I scroll down it, there's a button at the bottom and it says cancel. And I'm surely, tempted. My finger keeps hovering because I'm like, this is ridiculous. To have no update at all when it's available in the stores, I just don't want to go to a store. Pre-orders should be given priority as far as I'm concerned, end of. So I do checking like that, but I don't think I would say I was addicted to it. There probably were times a while ago where I'm on Twitter to see if somebody's replied to something and, you know, then I'll reply to them. But no, I don't think I'm addicted at all. I just think it's enabling. But he didn't give any credence whatsoever to the enabling aspect that technology could have to keep in touch with people. I mean, Kath on some Saturday nights, Kath and her family go to a different church. They don't live that far away, but they live very close to the other church in our parishes. So we wouldn't even see them on a Sunday. So we've actually been in touch more with the technology and the fact we're doing by request on a Saturday than we would have been before. And it's lovely. It's really lovely. And when she sent that birthday present, and this is so funny, she sent the birthday present and she got the wrong week. But she knows me. She knows that even if I get messages in WhatsApp, I don't look at them. Not straight away, I don't. It's not that I'm trying to be disciplined. I'm not. I just, oh, it's a message. Okay. If something isn't on fire, then it can wait. It can wait. Otherwise, I couldn't do the amount of work that I do and the amount of sessions that I do and everything else that I do. I wouldn't be able to because I'd be interrupting myself every 2 minutes. So it's like, okay, now I'm taking a break. And sometimes it can be 2 days, 3 days before I reply. That's just me. That's the way that I am. And Kath knew that. So when she sent this thing that said, whoops, I'm a week early, and she said, don't open it, she then sends a message and says, I know you might not see this for a couple of days, so open it whenever you like. Oh, so funny. So, how's Tracy doing? Same dizziness as last time. Oh, no. Hopefully, fingers crossed, you will be right soon. Kim is totally off Twitter and Facebook unless using it for genealogy. One thing, I did write a post on that, the smile list I called it. Let's find it. And it summed up how I felt Twitter had changed. When I first got on Twitter, it was May 2008. And I could only use it at my desk because my phone was a flip phone and it didn't have any internet connection whatsoever, and it certainly didn't have apps in it, I can assure you. So because of that, it was very desk-bound. Now, luckily for me, I was desk-bound most of the time. Mike wasn't. So the interactions on Twitter were flying past, and you couldn't really come in the evening and start replying to them. It was like out of sequence and out of date. So what changed was at the end of June, so literally only 6 weeks after we created our Twitter accounts, we got our first iPhone. And I remember sitting in Starbucks, because we would usually go to Nero, but it was full. So we were sitting in Starbucks and we'd got the phone. We'd got some data at that point. You know, we had data on it. And I was installing a Twitter client. And having installed the Twitter client, it was like, this was so funny. Mike had made his password like random characters. And he couldn't remember his password. Luckily, I could remember mine. So I put my password in, like, first tweet from my iPhone. And after that, that was a game changer. Because then it's with you all the time and you have access to it. But over the years, that's totally changed. And I can go, like, even when I was using it, all of a sudden, I just feel, not overwhelmed, just like I needed a break. I kind of knew that I needed a break. So I take a break. And I didn't set a time on it. If it was a week, it was a week. If it was just a couple of days, sometimes it was a month. Most of the time when I took a break, it did turn into a month. But it was a month of total social silence. And I was fine with that. And then something would catch my eye and I might tweet it. And then people would start replying. And then I'd be like drawn back into it, but only to a certain level. But he seemed to assume that you were all going to turn into addicted zombies. I mean, we do see people doing that who are like social butterflies. And, you know, even at events, that they're doing that. But as I've always said with Mike, I don't distinguish, and I can't understand people who do. That to me is the wrong attitude. But some people distinguish between their online friends and their in real life friends. We've got a friend from church, and he literally said he was at the pub, and he was with the Catinian get boys gang, and he said, "Right, I'm going off now to be with my real friends." I thought, pardon. And what he meant was, he felt he had Catinian friends, and then he had his real friends. Now, this guy's not really online, but if you take that principle, you know, and I've been at events where something has been going on online, or there's like a person online who's just said, like, son's just had an accident or something. And I want to be there for them and put a note in, you know, if you need me, get in touch, ping me, send me a DM. So I'm sat at a Catinian event and I'm just typing that in. Because to me, my online friends are equal to my real life friends. In fact, you know, sometimes I know my online friends better than I know real life acquaintances. So they are only acquaintances. And this guy wandered behind and said, "You shouldn't be doing that. It's disrespectful." I thought, to whom? If you choose to be offended, that's your problem. I don't get that. I'm not offended if somebody picks up their phone and starts looking at Twitter. I'm not. But a lot of people that we know, particularly in the Catinians, because of the age difference, they are. They feel like, they feel like you're not present with them. But as far as I'm concerned, I am. And the reason I picked my phone up is maybe to show them a picture or to send somebody a message in relation to what we're talking about. And they, to them, if you've got your phone in your hand, you're on Facebook or Twitter. Which was why, many moons ago, I think I mentioned it, I had to buy a different cover for my phone for a Sunday because I've got my missile on it. Now, they stood there with a paper missile. Well, I don't want a paper missile. Mine's a digital missile. Mine's more accurate than theirs, to be honest. But people like, she's on her phone, she's on Facebook, you know. And I find that really funny in church. That's a lovely Christian spirit, isn't it? Oh, what do you guys think? Let me know. Renee says he will not be calling me then. It doesn't ring. It doesn't ring. That's not me. I agree with Renee. Technology is a bliss and a curse, but mainly a bliss. I think it depends on how you use it. And I'm always confused when people say, like, I see so many ads on Facebook. And I'm like, there's ads on Facebook? I've got an ad blocker. I never see them. What ads? On the odd occasion, when I'm like in a different browser and I'm looking, and I don't use Facebook anywhere other than Firefox, because Firefox contains it. It's ring-fenced. On the odd occasion, I see an advert. I'm usually quite shocked. One that I saw and I thought was highly inappropriate, not generically, just like, I can imagine this advert could be a trigger for so many people. And there is an option to report it. Anyway, this advert came up and it was a charity. And I thought, fine, you know, obviously we support charities, guide dogs, etc. But this thing was for Macmillan. Now, I already have a problem with Macmillan, but even if I didn't, it's got cancer all over it. My mum died of cancer. My dad died of cancer. Mike's dad died of cancer. Do you think I want to see that in my feed reminding me? So I hit on the block, wholly inappropriate, and I've never seen one since. So fair dues to Facebook. I did actually get rid of it. But no, I don't think I'm addicted, no. Sometimes I hardly ever open it. But the technology that I do use, it is enhancing my life, not making it worse. If I felt it was making it worse, then I wouldn't go there. And sometimes, you know, when you know that there's something going on, you have to either mentally filter it out. I'll give you an example. And it didn't bother me in the slightest because I wouldn't have gone anyway, but that's not the point. So we're coming out of lockdown supposedly at some point, allegedly, according to Boris, whatever. The figures are like whatever you want them to say. So there's lies, damn lies, and then there's COVID statistics. So I'm looking through Facebook because there had been some pings. And the reason I was looking particularly was Kaz, who's with us in By Request on a Friday night, that's Kath's, Saturday night, that's Kath's daughter, has got a cat, this beautiful cat called Elsa. I think she's 2.5 now. Anyway, they were, for the first time in over a year, meeting up with the family at the weekend. And it was the daughter's birthday and their wedding anniversary. So it was a heck of a party on Saturday night. And Kaz had sent through some pictures of the kittens. I'm assuming they're her sister's kittens. Her cat had kittens. I thought it was more than 2 months ago, but these did look quite baby, these kittens. Very, very tiny. Oh, and they were adorable. So there's me admiring these pictures of the kittens. And one in particular I thought was absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful little face on him. Anyway, the reason that was on Facebook was Mike had said he'd been on Facebook and he said, you need to get on Facebook. So I get on Facebook and he said, go find Kaz. And one of these kittens had come home with them and it's going to be a brother for her other kitten. And I wanted to see the kittens. While I'm looking at the kittens, I see a post from somebody else who I would say were like part of the same social group at church. And they were at a garden party or a party in a garden, depending on how you look at it. I don't know what the rules are. Maybe somebody else does. How many can you meet at the moment in a garden? I know it was six. Now I've no idea because there was more than six people in this garden. And it was a party, celebration, bank holiday afternoon gathering. No one had invited us. No one had even mentioned it. And if it was before lockdown, we would all have been there together. I can only assume, well, I don't know what the issue was, but I can imagine somebody who's way more hypersensitive than I am with that, feeling that they've been ghosted. And that's probably one of the biggest dangers of social media. The FOMO, but real FOMO. FOMO where you would normally be invited and then you're not. And then you would never have known. Right. You would never have known about that, but for the fact you were looking on Facebook. And if you were in any way sensitive, you may think, well, why did nobody mention that to me? I wasn't, but I can imagine some people would. At which point, you know, I'd be like, OK, now I'm aware of that. Interesting. That would I'd file that away as a useful piece of information for going forward. Is what I would do with it. Now I know that. Do you know what? Now I don't feel obliged if I'm going somewhere to invite you. Guess what? But you'd have to have a very thick skin, wouldn't you? And I mean, Mike and I were talking about social. We should do a show on that. The number of people that have just vanished. And not just vanished, which is sad anyway, because, you know, I don't distinguish. You're a friend. A friend is a friend is a friend. But so many. And you think, oh, I wonder what happened to X. It is. It's quite sad. There's my post on the smile list. My take on that when I did blog 30. Right. OK. Now, you see, Kim's the same as me. A friend is a friend, regardless of how I met them. I just don't differentiate. I really don't.
Is this like your real friend?
Yes, I've just done all of that. I explained all of that. Don't forget your microphone isn't working.
I know. That's why I'm shouting.
They still can't hear you because this microphone is honed to within an inch of its life. We'll have to get Mike mic'd up again for tomorrow, won't we? Don't know what's happened. Oh, Tracy wasn't here at the beginning. Tracy, we have a mic issue. Not Mike, mic, M-I-C mic.
Yes, an M-I-C mic.
An M-I-C mic.
It's M-I-K-E.
No. The M-I-C mic is working, but it's not appearing online. I don't know what's wrong with it. So now, you know, started the day, didn't have anything to fix. Now I've got something to fix. Jolly good. That's how we like it, isn't it? What's the mouth? Yeah, we can hear you. Mouth. Good grief, Lola. Daddy. Food, Daddy. Now.
Wait.
Well, clearly she can't wait, Mike, or she wouldn't be yipping,
just
would she?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Some kind of superstar?
A little dog should be seen and not heard.
No, Daddy, it doesn't work like that, does it?
Right.
Oh, I love that. Oh, Kim says, I've honestly spent more time with you all during the lockdown than anyone else. Ditto. Absolutely. Well, you know us. I've not been out. I have not set foot over the doorstep, apart from doing the hedge last September. That was the furthest I've been. About 12 inches outside the boundaries of MacBites HQ. Mike's been a bit further with Lola, but apart from that, no. The garden's as far as I've got. If you must check your phone when driving or working down the street, you're addicted to social media. No, Kim, I never, ever, ever, ever touch my phone when I'm driving. And I'm not one of these people either who needs to put it in the boot, because that's just utterly ridiculous. If you had an accident and you couldn't move that far and your phone's in the boot and you need to call for help, just so show us some discipline. My phone is in my bag, which is on the passenger seat next to me. And what I always do, you might think I'm paranoid, but there was a spate in the UK of people opening car doors and grabbing bags off the seat. So what I do with my handbag is it's got like straps, loopy straps at the top, and I put the seatbelt through the straps and lock it in. Obviously, the answer is to lock your car doors. And indeed, I would. But my central locking, think of it as like Alcatraz. Once you've locked it, you might never get out again. That actually happened, didn't it? So I don't do that. But I do make sure that my bag is secure. But one, if it rings, if somebody rings me once, I'm not going to hear it anyway because it's on silent. And you know me, don't answer the phone. But two, like if it is urgent or it's Mike who's on emergency bypass, well, you're just going to have to wait. I would be able to see who it was on my watch. But that's a quick glance. But if it was a text message or anything like that, I totally ignore it. I'm not even tempted, not even at the lights, to pick it up. Because here, you can be arrested for that. That's like unsafe driving. So I'm not doing that either. But I don't feel the need to have it out of my reach to stop me doing it. But yeah, some people are addicted. You're quite right. Particularly if you're like putting stuff up on Insta and you're checking your likes and stuff. That's just the way they are, I guess. Right. Except Kiva. Oh, Kiva's obviously the number one. Just like you, hey? Oh, Lola's eating a stick. She's quite happy now. She's quite happy eating a stick. Right. Anthony says, you're the same with YouTube. You have to log into your work YouTube account. It's amazing how full of ads YouTube is. You never see any because of the ad-free service. That shocked me. I took YouTube Premium about 2 years ago. And my rationale was, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a content creator. So YouTube's incredibly important to me. I need to be able to get to the back end of YouTube without sitting through 15 adverts to get there. And the other reason is, you know, I use YouTube so much, it's worth every penny. Lastly, I consider I don't really pay for it. Obviously, I do. There's a bill every month. I think, is it £14? Something like that. But that comes out of my YouTube revenue. So I can produce things faster because I'm on the premium. I get access to the tools for premium and also not wading through 3 million adverts. But I think I'd take that even if I wasn't. Because when I log into the church account, I can't do a thing. I'm just like Anthony. It's like, where's that ad? Whoa, where's the button gone? And the ad will float over the button. And then I'm looking for like a playlist and I can't get to the playlist because there's three adverts over the top of it. It's shocking. Now, when I very first took premium, the ads weren't that bad. They weren't in the interface. They were in the videos. And it was like, well, I'll just skip the ad. You know, wait for 5 seconds, then skip the ad. Sometimes there were mid-roll ads. But I accept that content creators can't create content for free. They have to eat too, you know. So if somebody's put content up there and there's an ad in it, I've got a choice. I know I could put an ad blocker on it. But then eventually that content creator won't make any money at all. Putting their content up there will cost them money and they'll stop doing it. Today, I clicked on two links. I was researching something for Rome. There was two shortcuts that I was looking for. So I did the Googles and two sites came up. And I could tell by the names of these sites that they're the ones that are like the most frequently used sites for Rome tips and tricks. Rome Hacker was one, or Rome Hacks was one. And there was another one. And I thought, oh, yeah, they're the best sites. So I clicked on it and both of them have gone. They're just not there anymore. And I thought, because taking time to create content and then people cheating by either ad blocking or now premium, you get paid from premium. So when you get your monthly statement from YouTube, it will say, you know, X amount via adverts, X amount via services, X amount via, it actually still calls it YouTube Red, which was the original name for YouTube Premium. But if somebody downloads a video, then you don't get paid. If somebody's got an ad blocker, you don't get paid. Eventually, they're going to go away. And both of these sites have gone. And I'm like, darn it. You know, they were great. but they've gone. So I see ads have got a place. It's like a transition, isn't it? A transaction, rather. You're going to watch it. If there's an ad, then you need to watch the ad because that's how the person gets paid. So I did put up with it and then decided it, for me, I watched enough, it was worth it. So I'm with Anthony, just get rid of the ads by paying for it. Oh, right. Let's have a look here. True, Renee, that's most unfortunate. You know, the rude and hurtful comments. We hear that a lot in the UK in relation to sports stars, particularly either black or... Is it all right to use the BAME thing or is that not trendy now?
I don't know.
Well, whatever. No, that's the wrong word as well. Anybody who doesn't look like the people who are being abusive. Will that do?
Yeah.
Right, we'll stick with that then. And they're saying that they're getting like, they have to delete like 80 horrific messages a day. And I'm like, I can't understand the mentality of somebody being so rude to somebody else because of the colour of their skin. What is wrong with these people? But there do seem to be quite a lot of them on Twitter. You're quite right. Right. Anybody in the chat want to try and finish design a tutorial with you for fun? Oh, going to try this one if anyone wants to try as well. Probably won't go nearly as far as the tutorial did, though. Oh, what are you up to with it? Let's have a look. I'm going to try and get the link for a start. Oh, a drawing one. That's a cute thing to finish. We did a poster with one of those on. It had a red top on it, though. Red top on it. That's really cute. I'd love to see you finish one of that. That'd be cute. Kim says, I get left out of all things all the time. I'm used to it. My neighbour used to yell at me and she would have parties all the time and not invite me. Meanwhile, I walk Kiva right past the party. Hard not to know that you're not invited when your neighbours ask why you're not there. That's shocking, Kim, isn't it? It is, honestly. But I'm with you. I just put it down to the fact that they're downright rude. They've got more problems than I've got. My life is chock-a-block full anyway of things that I absolutely love doing. So I've just filled my life with things that I love doing. And if they choose to, I mean, in this case, I don't use this phrase often, but in this case, I actually felt as I looked at this photo that I'd been ghosted, that it was literally like, you're dead, you're not part of our circle anymore. And I have no idea why, because until now, you couldn't meet up anyway. But it meant to me that maybe there'd been like behind the scenes communication between them as a group, excluding us. But I looked at it and I thought, you sad, sad, sad lot. Seriously, you are just sad. But yeah, and you know, I have had that thing with why aren't you at such and such a party? Because we weren't invited. I mean, you're right, how do you say that? And you could hardly say you're busy because you're just walking past the party. Kim, you are always welcome here. The MacBytes family is where it's at. Never mind all of these real life things. Overrated. Tell me, overrated. Lola's testing the microphone. Lola doesn't really need a microphone, does she, Tracy? She could stand in the garden and you'd still hear her. She's on that pitch. There you go. Oh, Dee says we'd be first on the invite list. Exactly, exactly. Everyone's welcome here. Everybody's welcome on Friday. Everybody's welcome to buy request. If they choose not to participate, that's up to them. But I just think I'm not in with this thing of like, I remember many years ago, went to my gran's and I think I was 23, 24 at the time. And I'd always wanted, what mattered to me from being about 16 was graduating. Because my mum had been to the best school in Manchester, but she had to leave before the exam year. You could leave then, I think, at 14 or 15. And the family needed her to work. It was as simple as that. You know, they couldn't pay for her to be at school longer than she needed to be. So she left. She would probably have aced every exam they put in front of her, but she didn't get a chance. My dad, no, he loathed school. hated it, and he just wanted to work in the fields. He was an outdoor person. So neither of my mum or dad or anybody else in my family had ever even got an O-level at 16, much less A-levels and a degree. That was like, to my mum and dad, a degree would have been like never. Never in a million years would they ever have even contemplated it. So once I got to 16 and I made a decision, I wanted to graduate, I wanted a degree. That to me was like the most important thing ever. And I remember my mum saying to me, you know, about having a graduation party. When you graduate, you have a graduation party. That graduation party was going to be the equivalent of what every other girl wanted, a wedding. Because my mum said straight to me, we can't afford both. And I said, I wouldn't expect you to pay for a wedding. I don't think a parent should pay for a wedding. What's that all about? That was like when you were selling cattle, that wasn't it, as far as I was concerned. But a graduation party would have been very, very cool. And I got to this graduation party. So I remember going to my grandmother's and saying, like, you know, here's the invitation. And these invitations, they were perfect. I absolutely loved them. All handmade. And she opened it. And she was like, oh, that's fantastic. You know, because she knew as well, first one with a degree in the family ever. And the first words out of her mouth were, is so-and-so coming? Have you invited so-and-so? And I'm like, argh. These are not people that I would particularly like there. But there was a kind of dynamic of like, yes, but the families, you've got to invite them. I actually wanted people there that I wanted there, if you're with me. So I don't agree with, like, you've got to invite somebody because they're part of the family. But if you're in a dynamic of a group where you're all together, then you should all be together. And if you start missing people out, it can be incredibly hurtful. Even if you're quite stable and stuff, you know, if that happened to the most confident person on a bad day, then it could set them off. And that's just unkind. It's unbelievably unkind, that. Oh, do you use his phone for music? Yeah, too cheap to pay for YouTube Music. Leave the screen on and stick it in your pocket. Are there ads on YouTube Music? I've got Spotify and I've got YouTube Music. And I love the fact with the YouTube Music thing, it will play the video if you want it, but you can also turn that off and you can download the stuff. But I don't use it to any great degree. So are there any ads on it? There are on Spotify if it's free. Hello, Paul. That sounds like a grand idea, Dee and Renee, with the little mushroom. Oh, Anthony says the mid-roll ads that got him to subscribe to premium. I don't find the mid-roll ads quite as annoying as the ads in the interface, I must admit. I mean, it would do if you were sitting there glued to a video. Then yes, I agree with you. But sometimes I'm researching and I spend more time just like finding videos and like doing the read up on, you know, the blurb underneath. And honestly, it's like, where did that just go? There's an advert there now. They've got those tall column ads, skyscraper ads, they call them, on the left. But to me, the left's where the navi should be. And I'm like, is that an ad? Is that part of this? It's awful. The church YouTube account is virtually unusable, as far as I'm concerned. What is fascinating with the church YouTube account? You should try this, guys. It's so fun. If you've got another account or just log out of YouTube, the recommendations are totally different. And I have no idea how. But when I went into the church account last time, I had all these tutorials for mobile apps. And I'm like, why don't I see these on my channel? But I don't. They're on the church one. I love the different recommendations. They're just chalk and cheese. And I'm thinking, I wonder why they're showing these to something that, you know, you clearly marked as being a church account. Like pole dancing for beginners. Honestly, the weird stuff. It's so funny to do that. I love it. Oh, Kim's redesigning the newsletter for next year. Somebody's working as far ahead as we are. I'm liking that, Kim. Deb said, how do you like it when one guy suggested in the book club Rome should be free? Deb, Rome should not be free. It's as simple as that. I took a real punt with Rome. I created an account December 2019, I think. And I carried on using it till about the February of 2020. And then Rome had a couple of issues where, because it was free in beta, it overloaded the servers And what they had to do was shut down sign-ups. When it came back, it was like, okay, we're launching now. And I thought, is this something I want to go back to? Because, you know, I'm sick of seeing that. There's a green dot when it's synchronized at the top and an orange dot when it's not. And I am sick of seeing the orange dot. I'm freaking out because of the orange dot. And there was this thing of you could do the believer thing. And I must admit, I'm like, I can see why they've done a believer package. Because if you can get somebody to subscribe for 5 years, you've got their money for 5 years or 5 years worth of money. Somebody might only subscribe for 1 year and then not use it anymore. So I can see why it works for Rome. But obviously it works for you as well, because it's half the price. And I got another £120 off it because I'd done a course. So if you'd done this particular course and you'd got the certificate to say you'd done it, you could give them that and they knocked £120 off it. So you're looking at like £380 instead of £500, which over 5 years, great deal. But I was in the mindset of you're not leaving Notion anytime soon. And Notion is £200 a year. So I'm going to pay twice as much for Notion in the next 5 years as Rome, more than twice as much. So I really was in two minds. And I thought, you know what, just do it. So I did. And throughout the summer of last year, going into the autumn, it was fairly erratic, my use of it. But I remember thinking just yesterday, as I was, the more I use it, the more I put into it, the more useful it becomes. And I remember just sitting there yesterday and saying to myself, just as well you went for the believer's plan, isn't it? So I was glad I was. But anybody who says like everything should be free, people don't value it. If it were free, people would be like, oh, shiny. And they'd go and they'd use it, do videos on it, they talk about it. And then the next new shiny comes out and they've got no investment in it at all. So they just move on to the next thing, which, while, okay, it's free will and they can do that, that's great for them. It's not actually great for them in the long term, because then the next question is, and without exception, this is the next question. How do I take my notes from fill in the blank to fill in the blank? So it's like, can I take my notes from Evernote to Rome? How can I go from Rome to Notion? How can I go from Rome to Obsidian? And I'm like, it's like just dragging your old garbage around with you all day. I was on a session, and this session in the second brain thing was about OneNote. I don't use OneNote. I used to use OneNote, but what I can do is extract principle from the session. Now, the comical thing was, the OneNote thing was the one that we've talked about before, where the lady was somewhat struggling, shall we say, somewhat struggling. Let's leave it at that. But seeing how other people have implemented things in their system, even if it's in a totally different app, you just take the principle. But so many people want everything for free. How do they think it works? How do they think the person making it makes a living? Because can you imagine Rome free with adverts? Then that'd be wrong. Oh, no, leave it alone. Pay for what you use. The pen tool is witchcraft. The pen tool's fabulous. Who can make a channel on Slack? What do you want this channel to be? Because I would have thought it'd go in critiques. Yeah. Critiques would work well for that. You could stick it in there and then people can give you feedback on it. So put it in there. Anyone who invites most people to a party in a specific group like a neighbourhood is an a-hole. You never just leave someone out. Doesn't even matter if you get on, you do that. Totally agree, Dee. Totally agree. Actually reminds me of my dad's funeral. We didn't speak to the neighbours for 30 years. Well, actually, to be precise, they didn't speak to us. We put a fence up on our own land. It wasn't a boundary fence thing where it was shared. It was on our land. And they didn't like it. And the kids started poking holes in it and stuff. So they didn't speak to us for 30 years. But when the time came, and it was Dad's funeral, and we were inviting the neighbours that, you know, he did know and get on with. I said, well, let's invite next door. And we did. And we also knew she was gluten free. And that was only because she had a parcel delivered and she wasn't in. And it came to us. And it was all gluten free stuff. And I said, oh, she must be gluten free. So we arranged at the funeral, obviously for us, but instead of ordering it for two people, we ordered it for her as well. Gluten free sandwiches. So on the day of the funeral, she came and she was sat with the neighbours that she knew. And I went over and I said, you know, at the end, there's some gluten-free sandwiches. And she said, how on earth did you know it was gluten-free? So I explained about this package many, many, many years ago. And she said, good grief, you remembered that. And then I said, well, yes, because we're gluten-free as well. But you wouldn't leave somebody out even when you've not spoken to them for 30 years. And you know, we chat regularly. Well, we did before lockdown. And, you know, it's really nice now. So now that was actually, we invited her to Dad's funeral, but then, of course, Mum died. But the thing was, Mum wasn't ill. Her partner was ill. And he was really seriously ill. It just happened all at once, but he was ill seriously for 6 months. And we knew that she was having problems. He at this stage had gone into a hospice, but she had no idea that Mum was ill. And she enjoyed the funeral, if enjoyed is the right word. She was impressed with the funeral to such a degree. She used the same undertaker. So he had died. He died about maybe 1 or 2 days before Mum. And then Mum died. And obviously we were using the same undertaker. So the undertaker went round to their house and he said, yeah, it's shocking news about, you know, Mrs. Giles next door, isn't it? And she said, what's shocking news? And he went, oh, she died. And she nearly fell off the chair because, you know, Mum wasn't ill. So we invited her to that funeral as well. And that was when we got talking. And it was like, well, you know, not exactly best buddies, but you know what I mean? They're your neighbours, and particularly next door. I don't know if it's the same in the States because you have your housing associations. But in the UK, if you don't speak with your neighbour, if there's any animosity and you come to sell your house, you have to admit it on the forms, meaning that there could be sort of trouble down the line. So now there's no trouble down the line. We speak to everybody. But yes. Nan had to leave at 14 to look after her grandparents and Mum was disabled. Exactly, Tracy, that happened back then. I mean, so much emphasis is put on the importance of education these days, but back then it was totally the other way. You know, your duty to your family came first. Absolutely. So Dee heard an experiment. There were three strangers throwing a ball back and forth between each other. Two were in the experiment and would start throwing it just to themselves, leaving the other one out. After only a short period of time, the other person comes quite distressed. We're so social and need to be included. Exactly. You know, and particularly putting these things up, these pictures on Facebook, is like, do you think people aren't going to see it? Idiots. But then they wonder, you know, I think, for Mike and I, even more so at the moment, because we've been so careful making sure we don't put anybody else at risk. I mean, we would love to hug Rachel on her birthday, and she's had the jab. She's a nurse. She's tested twice a day. She's fine. And so are we. But we wouldn't risk it anyway, because Rachel has a brother. The brother has three children. They're mixing with Mike and Chidge, with Nina and Chidge. It's like a spiral. That's how it happens. It only takes one thing and we just wouldn't risk it. But maybe people have taken that as like, you're being standoffish. But we remember going into COVID, it was still Mike's presidential year. And you know how hard we worked on that. We left no man behind. It didn't matter what the event was. I mean, the arguments that we had with venues, because they weren't wheelchair friendly, was like, you know, and if you got to down the line of, well, no, then we're not booking. Simple as that. And other places were like, the one thing I hated when Ellen turned up at an event, she's in a wheelchair. She's not getting out of the wheelchair and sitting in a chair. So why is her name card on the table with a chair in front of it? That without exception, Stuart then had to move. So every time we had an event, I mean, we're talking down to the nth degree here, aren't we? Every event, it was like, where's Ellen sitting? Move the chair. It's a little thing, but you know, another thing that we did was desserts. We have quite a percentage that need, mainly it was diabetic. They needed a diabetic friendly dessert. And there was another person who only ever ate cheese and biscuits. And you know, the venues were like, no, we're not providing cheese and biscuits. And it was like, you're not providing cheese and biscuits, we're not booking. Okay, can I have cheese and biscuits? We fought for them, if you're with me. But when we went into lockdown, Mike had like 3 weeks to go and we had to cancel three really big events, the really big events that would have generated more money for the charity. But that was when we took it online and said, no, 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 failure is not an option. We'll do it online. But I don't know, maybe people think that we're okay because we're there every week with By Request and we sound really happy and cheerful and upbeat. Maybe they're not. Maybe that's their problem. I don't know. But I totally agree with you. You either include everybody or nobody. It's as simple as that. I think that's a really interesting experiment where one's left out and they start to really feel it. That's fascinating. I must look that one up. That is totally fascinating. Anthony says there have been experiments that show that people do things as part of a group they wouldn't dream of doing alone, such as rioters. That's also very true, isn't it, Anthony? It's like the power of the mob. I mean, we saw that at Old Trafford with the riots. There were riots as well in London and Manchester not that long ago, maybe 5-8 years ago. Didn't they burn down in London? And it wasn't where you would have thought either. It was quite a way out of the town centre. But I think they burnt down a shop. I think it was a furniture or carpet shop. And it had been in the family for like 5 generations. And it was just totally torched. And you're thinking, I can't imagine one person walking up and torching the place. But in a mob, that just happens. So yeah, totally, totally true. Right, I'll get that link, D, how it's turning a game show into something terrifying. Yeah, most of on telly I find terrorising. I will watch that. I will open that up in a tab. Do you know, I'm so bad during the day. I open up so much stuff in tabs. Oh, Darian Brown, now he controls your mind to start with, doesn't he? He does. Oh, you don't have to put that on a form when you sell. No, we do here, Kim. Came in a few years ago. You never used to. But there was like a spate of... In fact, I think there was a TV programme about it. Like, was it called Neighbours from Hell? If you're in the UK, was it called Neighbours from Hell? But some of these stories were horrific. And what people were doing was they were moving to avoid these neighbours from hell, but then not warning the people moving in because it wasn't a legal requirement. So they made it a legal requirement. And I remember thinking when they brought it in, if we ever come to sell, that's going to be a nightmare. Because at the time, the neighbours on the other side didn't speak to us either. He didn't like the dog. He was fine until the dog arrived. And he did everything to try and get rid of the dog, including throwing the poison meat over the fence, if you remember. But he also reported us to the council because we had a dog. And I remember the letter arriving and my mum was so like... quiet and self-contained, and she would never dream of bothering anybody else. And the house, not the next door house where the guy was complaining, but the one next to that, had had 2 dogs for years. And these dogs always wanted to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning. So they just let them out and left them in the garden. But for 3 hours, they did nothing but bark. And it used to drive Mum insane because that was when she was trying to sleep. But she never complained to the council. It was just like, well, you know, it's their house and their dogs and dogs bark. What can you do? But this guy, Mayor, had been here 3 weeks and he'd reported him to the council. They've got a dog and I don't like it. And we got a letter, snotogram, from the council. And, you know, it was addressed to the occupier, so I knew it wasn't good. And, you know, Mum opened it and she was so sensitive with things like that. And I thought, oh, my God, it's going to kick off and we're going to have to get rid of the dog. I mean, he barked for about maybe over a period of 20 minutes in a day. And that was it. And that wasn't every day. That was just when we were out and we were playing. And, you know, he was barking at the ball and stuff. But it wasn't at an unreasonable hour. It could be like 6 o'clock in the evening. But what he wanted to do was walk around the garden with, you know, like a house phone, but a cordless, making business calls. So he could do that in the garden and we could hear him yakking away to his colleagues, but we couldn't have a dog. So we did at that stage when they brought it in, we didn't speak to either of the neighbours, which makes it look like we're the commonality, but we really weren't. One was this fence years and years ago, and the other was the dog. He just didn't like the dog. In the end, you know, obviously the dog's staying. Don't push me. There was the issue about the extension as well. But, you know, don't argue with a lawyer. And while I don't practice, I'm still a lawyer. So we won that one. In the end, he just moved. So thankfully, we get on all right with the other neighbours because they had a dog. And
what was your friend?
My friend.
Your friend.
What friend?
Who you abdicated IT support to me to.
Who was that?
Ron and Chris around the corner.
Oh, yes, I remember them.
He's getting a new computer. He had some questions.
So Mike's been on support. That's who the call was then.
Yeah, you know what I've done? I've switched silence unknown callers on.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I mentioned that and you said I like that.
Yeah.
And you turned it on.
Yeah, so now I've told him if he has to ring me back, leave a voicemail. Because then I know who you are.
Exactly. I've fielded everything via voicemails. Right. Thank you for that link. I'm going to have a read of that. Loving that. This ball experiment, I'll explain it later, Mike. Neighbours from hell, you can't imagine. You've got a sweet couple, leave rhubarb on the wall. Oh, wow, you hate rhubarb, but you lied once and now you're trapped. Dee, that's fabulous. It is a good problem to have. Oh, and Kim's cranky neighbour moved out this year. Excellent. Ah, you see, now in Holland it's the same. Mandatory to inform new tenants about horror neighbours. I think it all told it's a good idea. I do. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a problem with the neighbours. It just depends what it is. I mean, if somebody moved in and they didn't have a dog, then the neighbour would have been fine. It was a personal thing. They didn't like the dog.
Hi, Anthony.
Good night, Anthony. Couldn't horror be subjective? I guess it depends on what they're doing, Dee, and whether it was in relation to the property. So if you think about the first issue where it was the fence, that fence, if somebody moves in and the fence is there, they're not going to know that the fence is what's causing problems with the neighbour. So stuff like that, I guess you would have to say. Kiva's a very good neighbour. She only barks when she should at critters in the yard or strangers. Lola barks when she's playing. May he just used to like barking. He liked the sound of his own voice.
She also barks when she wants something to eat.
Well, they now know that she barks when she wants something to eat. And that was just...
Daddy, you've forgotten. That.
Oh, just so funny because it was just one bark. Like, you've forgotten something. She's too cute. Too cute. Oh. You did not qualify as being horrible. I don't think we would here, to be honest. I don't. But I think you've got to give people the information. It's as simple as that. You do have to give people the information. And I agree with that. I'd want to know if I was moving somewhere and there was a problem with the neighbour. But there you go. So that was today. Ooh, we are now one day closer to WWDC. The site's up. I put that in the mail. So if you've got the mail, the link's in there. That's where it's all going to be happening next week. Well, there and where you are right now on Mark Bites FM. So lots of things to think about between now and then in terms of what we'd like. So as I put in the email, you've got an idea of what you would like. Hit reply and let us know and we will add it to the list. Oh, Renee and his wife have brought all the neighbours back together. Oh, you are a charmer, Renee. You are. Do you sing happy birthday and do videos for them all as well? Because that was just too cool. You're a peacemaker. That's fantastic. Well, we will meet again tomorrow, same time, same place. But for the moment, on the Blasted Heath, and hopefully with Mike with a mic. Mike's mic. Hopefully tomorrow. On a show near you tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
Shouted across the room. We'll see you next time. In the meanwhile, stay safe, guys.